Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You cannot imagine.
Good evening, welcome to Jesus, the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Today, we have a very loved, very blessed and anointed woman of God and a very dear friend of mine, Sister Jules Morales, and she will be speaking on what the Lord has placed on her heart. Sister Jules, you can go ahead and start, and if you'd like, can you go ahead and open up in prayer before we get started?
Okay. Praise God. I just want to honor you today, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for salvation. Thank you for opening our eyes, Father God. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for the touch of your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you for changing and renewing our minds daily, Father God, for your precious word. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Father. Thank you for humble hearts, Father God. Thank you for hungry hearts. Thank you for, Lord God, your word, Father. Thank you for the promises. Thank you, Father God, for, Lord God, giving us the insight, giving us the encouragement, Father. Thank you for correcting us, Lord, through your word. Thank you for guidance, direction, Father God. Thank you for peace, Lord. Father, thank you for understanding, oh God. Thank you, Lord, Father, for you giving us these things, Father, so that we can walk through this world, Father God, as we wait for you, Father, as we see things unfolding, Lord, in your word, Father God, in this earth, Father, knowing that your word is true and is coming to pass, Father God, as we walk through this world, Father God. Lord, your word says that we live in it, but we're not of it, Father. And I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, for the warnings that you're giving your people, Father. Thank you for as you're leading us, as you're guarding our hearts, Father God, not to fall into false doctrines and falling for the counterfeit, Father God, and for not being fearful when we hear the rumors of wars and all the things that are happening in the world, Father. We know that we can just be joyful in knowing that you're taking care of us, Father, that we shall not fear, Father God, of any pestilence that comes, Father God. And if the word says that it will not come near our home, Father God, Father God, and we just thank you, Lord God, for your protection, for divine protection, Father God. We just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. I just praise you today, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing through the life of my sister, your daughter, Faith, Father. And I thank you for the ability that you have given her, Father God, to start up this program, Father, to use the internet as a weapon, Father God, a good thing that we can use for good, Father, and not for evil, Father. We just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your counsel, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that you would bless the word, Father God, that it would encourage our hearts, Lord God, and that we would meditate in it, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. Well, I just want to start off with a small testimony that I've been going through for a couple of months. I've been just getting sick and just things have started kind of falling apart in my body. Just things have started kind of happening. First of all, I started noticing that my hair was starting to fall, and it was just to this a lot, just falling, and started getting a little bit concerned as the months went by. You know, I just started saying, no, it's just going to go away. And as I was saying, it's going to go away, it just kept getting worse. And so I started getting a little bit more frustrated about it, and I still didn't want to go to the doctor. I said, well, I don't know what it is. You know, started getting a little bit of fear. Fear started, like, crawling in my heart, and I started saying, God, what's going on? What's happening with my hair? It's just starting to fall, and it's not just like you would say a winter shed, you know, that you start changing. Sometimes the summer changes into winter, so you lose a little bit of hair. This was like just a lot of hair that was falling, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, I started losing my sleep. For about 5 days in a row, I didn't have any sleep, and I was having just tremors in my body, and I couldn't sleep. It was just literally, I was in a new place I'd never been before. And a few months before, actually a month before this happened, actually, we were in service, and I heard we had a message in tongues, and I heard the interpretation of the message, and someone else interpreted the message also, but I heard, as this person was interpreting, I also heard an interpretation that I felt like if it was directed to me, and I said, I heard the interpretation clearly, and I've never heard an interpretation before. Sometimes I just get bits and pieces of it, but this time I literally got the whole interpretation as this person was saying it. And I could hear it this way. It says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. For I am with you. For I am with you. I will go before you, and I will protect you. And do not be afraid. I will protect you. And so I said, oh, my goodness. I said, Lord, do I need to say this to someone? And this is the Lord was just kind of like quiet. He would not say yes or no or lead me to say it to someone. It just stayed in my spirit, and I heard it so clearly just as I said it. And I went home, and I thought, my goodness, I said, those words, I said, those words, I said, I feel like those are for me. And I said, God, I said, I feel like this is for me. I feel in my spirit as if you're, like, preparing me. You're letting me know something's coming up. That's all I knew, because I know God has prepared my heart when something has happened in my family. My dad getting sick, my heart was prepared before I got the news. Like, I already knew something was coming up, so I didn't lose it, but I was firm. I was collected. You know, I was able to function, even though the stress of my dad getting sick, having to leave and, you know, leave my job for a couple of weeks and having to go to Portland from California. I already knew God had already prepared my heart. I already knew it as if I already knew something was happening and my heart was ready. And so the same thing, I said, Lord, if I'm not mistaken, I just know that you're preparing me for something. And I just said, okay, Lord, I know that you said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I said, and that doesn't sound really comforting, But it says, you will fear no evil, for I am with you. That's the comforting part, you know. And I will go before you. You should not be afraid. I will go before you. And I said, you know, God, you are with me. You will go before me. You have said that to me many times before, and that's my comfort. So as the weeks went by, like a month and a half later, you know, this episodes of me getting sick and just things happening in my body and that I had no clue. I finally decided to go to the doctor, and after maybe almost 4 months of these episodes off and on, I finally decided to go to the doctor. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to the doctor and see what happens. And they couldn't pinpoint exactly what was wrong. I went to one doctor and said, well, I don't see anything wrong with you. I don't know. And I said, well, could you do a blood test? And, you know, maybe I've heard rumors of the thyroid causing this kind of problems. And he says, okay. So I went to have the test done. Short story, making a short story, apparently there was a problem with the thyroid, but within a month after I went back to another doctor for a second opinion, that doctor says, no, there's nothing wrong with your thyroid. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I said, this is not what I want to go through. I mean, so I literally prayed and I said, God, I don't know if this is foolish, but I'm going to just not go to the doctors. If they're going to create this confusion, you know, they're already saying, no, there's nothing wrong with your thyroid. The other one says, yes. And I just don't feel, I feel like I just need to stay still and just be put, you know, wait. And I know that you're a healer. And all of a sudden, this understanding in my spirit came to where, since I've been saved, for almost 7 years now. And from that time, I have known God as provider. I had no job for a few years. For a year, I didn't have a job. And I knew God as provider. He called me out of that a job that I had. I had a good-paying job with insurance, 401K. You know, I was making like $18 an hour and a lot of overtime. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says, I want you to put your 15-day notice. And I said, Lord, this is the only thing I know that, you know, this is where I get my provision. That's how I literally said it to the Lord. I was in a parking lot, you know. I wasn't in a, you know, in a prayer or anything, but I was having a communion with God there in the parking lot. And he spoke to my heart, says, put in your 15-day notice. And I literally just started getting nervous and panicky, and I started like saying, and fear came up on my heart, and I said, Lord, I feel like you're asking me to give my 15-day notice, and I have fear, you know, this is my provision, this job is what provides for me, and I surrender it in my heart, I surrender it, you know, there's times where God asks us to do something, and we say yes from our mouth, but we never give it up in our heart, you know, we kind of hold on to it. It could be, you know, job, relationships, you know, ministry, anything, you know, moving from a church or whichever. God, you know when God is dealing with you about something that you need to surrender, and you just say, okay, I'll do it, but you're still, your heart has not detached from it. So I remember saying, Lord, I surrender this job in my heart, but I pray that you help me and that you would, you know, I'm so fearful to put in the 15-day notice. I pray that you help me to surrender this job. And sure enough, things just got unfold at that time. It was people getting laid off because of all this. There was a lot of recession, what they call a recession going on, and people started getting laid off and stuff. And sure enough, I ended up getting laid off, but through the process, I said, I thank God. I said, thank you, Lord, because I could have not done it. I would have not been able to give up the job, but I'm being let go, and it didn't hurt they didn't give me a bad reputation. You know, I'm still in good standing with, you know, if I was to apply for another job. Anyhow, at that time, I started knowing God as provider. God started providing for me in any type of situation when I needed money for rent, when I even ended up going to Guatemala. The Lord spoke to my heart and says, "You're going to Guatemala." And I said, "Lord, I have no money. I'm not working." Sure enough, he says, "It's going to be a timing. He just said, "A timing. It's going to be a timing." I said, "Okay, it's not right now." And within a few months, I got a check on the mail for $1,700, and I knew that was the money to go to Guatemala. It was exact to the penny, to the money that I spent over there and for expenses. I mean, it was just exactly how much I needed. So I started knowing God as provider. I had already known him 2 years prior as Savior and as deliverer, because he delivered me from 13 years of alcoholism. And one day, one night, he touched me. He filled me up with the Holy Ghost, with the utterances of speaking in tongues. From that night on, I was never the same. So that was the first time I ever knew God as provider, as the deliverer, as healer, as Savior. And then I started knowing him as provider. And I believe in this stage where I was at, which I believe that God has shown me that he is my healer. And within the time, and this has been since August of last year, that I had been sick, and I just dropped everything. I dropped the doctors. I just didn't go to doctors anymore. Some people, you know, they kind of say, "Oh, no, I don't think that's wise." But I felt the leading of in my heart, that the Spirit of the Living God was saying, "I want to show you who I am as a healer. How can you tell people that I heal if I have not experienced him?" I have experienced him as Savior and as deliverer, because I have the experience in me of him delivering me from sin and from the alcoholism. And I used to also take some medications with the alcohol to, you know, for a higher high, they call. But in a blink of an eye, you would say. I mean, it's just in an amazing way. And I experienced that, and I'm able to tell people out of my experience that, you know, it's the testimony is much stronger when you have the experience and you can tell people, this is real. This is not something that you make up. And unfortunately, you know, we cannot have that person experience what you've experienced, but you can share the testimony, and it becomes so much powerful when it's real to you, because you can take them there. You can take them there, and you can plant that seed and tell them it is real. This is as real as, I mean, you would say as flesh, because he's so real to us. But he's spirit. He's a spirit being. So when it comes in contact with the flesh, as we are, it's something that it's spectacular. You have no words for it, but all you can do is share and be a testimony unto the Lord. So in this time of what I've been going through, I have been knowing God as healer. Whenever I'm going through a phase of where I feel sick, my body doesn't feel right, when I feel it as an attack, literally, because normally it's at nighttime when this thing used to come and just felt like torment in my body. So I started learning how to anoint my body and literally start commanding things to leave. And Psalm 91 became one of my psalms that I would just start reading throughout the night. And I would repeat to myself, you know, you were like, right, I used to sleep in the couch because I couldn't even lay down on my bed. I would sleep on the couch, and I would cry. And I remember David in the Psalm says, you know, my tears, you know, I just cry all night long in my couch, you know. And I say, Lord, this is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. And I'm learning to be an overcomer. And I thank you. I thank you because you're teaching me to overcome. And through Christ is that you have made me an overcomer. He overcame death. And, Lord, even if you choose to take me home, I'm content. I started praying, like I was telling Faith last night. I was started praying. I said, Lord, I just pray that I'm right with you. I feel in my heart that I have nothing that should keep me away from going into heaven, but if there is anything, please show me, because I want to go home. I want to make it in there. And the Lord, it seemed like he was hiding from me for a while. I couldn't hear him. I would pick up the word of God, and it's as if just pure white and black letters, nothing, you know, I wouldn't feel that what, you know, normally we get that rhema, a word where you know that your God is just speaking to you, and he's breathed something upon you, and it just gives you this strength, the supernatural strength, but nothing would come about to that. I wouldn't be able to go to that place, so I would just worship in his presence. Whenever I felt sick, I would just walk up and down my room and just bless his holy name. I did get a lot of encouragement from Job. I started seeing God as creator. I said, God, you created me. And through the scriptures, I would just encourage, and just the Lord would encourage me by me remembering the scriptures and reading them. But I didn't feel that supernatural power that the scriptures would give you at times when you know. So that is just a little bit of what had been going on, that has been going on in my life for the last, I think it's been 5-6 months or so. And from there, I said, you know, Lord, even though I'm going through this phase, I cannot take the eyes off of what you're doing in the church nowadays. And I started asking God to just give me something to start reading while I was going through this process. And I started taking my eyes off my problem, the sickness and all this that was going on. I said, that God is already taking care of it. Whenever I feel sick, I just endure it. I pray, I anoint my body, and it just goes. And I just have to concentrate on what God wants to bring to people, you know, because sometimes these things will take all of you and take your mind and your heart and your strength, and it wants to drain out the life out of you. And I believe that may be its purpose. One thing I know is that God is aware of everything that we go through in our lives. He's aware of everything that we go through. And so I say, God, you're aware of that. You're aware of the situation. And I'm just going to take my mind off of it, because it was starting to take my mind. I was, what if I have this? What if? You start with what if, what if? And all of a sudden, through this process, the Lord started showing me in the church, when we get sick, the body of Christ, this is for the believers, because we start running to other sources. You know, we have the internet available, and one of the things I did is that I started, and it's a mistake that I've done, and I learned from that. I started Googling what you would say the symptoms. And so from Google, it starts taking you to different possibilities. And from there, you know, the enemy is creating all kinds of forms of, you would say, deceiving, I want to say, adoptions. I don't know if that would be the proper word, but it starts with a health issue. It starts with health and starts with eating right and starts with taking care, which is good. I mean, eating right, taking care of your body is good. And it comes in an innocent form, and it starts taking the Christian. This is for the Christian. It starts taking the Christian, where it just started with the simple Googling. It starts taking you to different types of beliefs. Oh, if you do this, if you do this and that, you know, get up in the morning, drink this juice, and then you say, okay, well, that sounds healthy. You know, you start taking this juice, you start helping your body. Well, the next thing you know, it tells you, oh, well, you start doing this and take your juice, and then you sit for 5 minutes and you start meditating, and you say, okay, well, the word says we meditate, but it says to meditate on God's word. And this thing starts telling you to meditate on a higher power, you know, so it starts deviating the believer into a higher power. And then the higher power, since we know that Christ is our highest, we start saying, oh, okay, well, God, Christ, you know, Jesus, we start blending in. We start blending in the secular with our Christianity. And then we start bringing in beliefs. You know, they even give you videos to kind of like do some kind of meditation where they would take you into a trance. And all of a sudden, and some of these people have even used scriptures and blending in Eastern or Buddhism into Christianity. They start blending in things, and all of a sudden the Christian finds himself or herself blending in with demonic. And so God started really opening my eyes to basically in my car. He spoke to my heart, and it says, because a person, a Christian, will get so overwhelmed with whatever issue they're having in their health, it could be any other issue, they run to other sources. And I said, oh my God. I felt as if, this warm, I mean, just, I said, oh my gosh, my eyes literally just opened this wide. And I repented. I said, God, I said, I thank you. I pray that you forgive me, Lord, because I went into Google and I did some search, and I said, Lord, I followed some of the guidances they gave me there for health, you know, to drink this. I didn't do any of the meditations or anything, but I was going into that path. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart and says that Christians, this is for the Christians. They get so desperate. That was the word. They get so desperate, they run into other sources. And I said, wow, Lord, it sounds a little bit, you know, it may not make sense to people if I say, Lord, am I to share this? And the Lord started giving me to read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And in the prison, I started sharing 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I would not leave from this too, where it spoke about... First of all, some of us, as young Timothy, we are to, on 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, let's see here, 4:2, it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convene, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside for fables. But you be watchful in all things, and during affliction do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And I said, oh, blessed be the Lord. I said, thank you, Father God. I said, I praise you. Because I kid you not, from if you was to go, and I tell people, be very careful. Be very careful when you're doing searches. When you're doing searches in Google and you're searching for answers, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible and God will give you an answer. And because if you go to these places, you start encountering things. It may start in a healthy way, but I'm telling you, I do believe the Lord has shown me that this health movement that's coming up is also a deceitfulness of the enemy, where it's leading people in the church. I'm speaking about the church. The reason why I say all the time in the church, and Christians, is because the world, it's already, that's what they do. The world is what they do. That's what they are, that's where they are resourcing from. That's what they know. That's basically what the world will do. The world will perfectly go with the flow of whatever the trend is. But for the Christian, that's not what we're to partake of, on any of that. And the reason why it starts, I hear a lot about this, and I know, God already has told me, and I'm ready for it. You know, at the beginning, I wasn't, you know, happy about it, but I know people are going to think, this girl is too extremist, and whatever it may be. I just pray that people will ponder this in their hearts, you know, but there came a time where they were doing a Daniel fasting, and I said, Daniel fasting, what's that? And see, it started with health. Oh, it's healthy for you. You only do this, you only do that. And I started, something was checked in my spirit. And I was just like three and a half years in the Lord when I heard the first time about this Daniel fasting. And I said, what is it? And so I guess you do vegetables, sometimes you just do juice, and sometimes this and that. And I said, well, the fasting is normally not food, you know. I do believe that the fasting is to kill the flesh, not to entertain it or keeping it healthy. You know, it's good to take care of the body. But when we're doing a fasting, I believe is that we must cut all foods. Water is good. Some people are able to do it. Some people can't. But you can pray before you do this. You can pray and ask God to lead you and give you strength before you start your fasting. And but when I heard the Daniel fasting, I don't know. And like I said, God had already prepared my heart. People are not going to like me. That was not the word He used. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. And this is in the church. I know the world's already going to hate me. But in the church, when you speak of these things, people are going to hate you. They're going to despise you, you know. And some of them, you know, are going to love you because they know that you're speaking the truth, because the truth is being revealed to them. Also, as they read the scripture, you're just confirming what the Lord has already spoken to them. And so I said, Lord, some people are going to think it's a little too radical. It doesn't make any sense. But I know that the Lord has shown me that. And through this process, He has shown me that in the church, people are getting deceived to this, what it looks good, what it looks healthy, good for you, is really not. It's another disguise of the enemy coming in, bringing in a different type of doctrine. There's either now people that are blending in the customs of meditation with mantras and doing scripture with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, you really get to that point to where this is really demonic. it, you know, I mean, this is where we need to draw the line. And when I said, you know, the word says on, like I said, on pure, on the 2 Timothy 4, it says convince, rebuke, exhort. So that's the job that, that God has called us to do, to tell people, to instruct them on, in 2 Timothy 3:16 says that we're to instruct with the instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 also talks about it. See if I can find it here. 3:16. Let's see here. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly equipped for every good work. So when we partially give ourselves to sound doctrine, when we're only halfway full with sound doctrine and halfway full with counterfeit, we're not. The enemy has come to that to deceive the believer. So now they have halfway true and halfway false, but they think they have truth, and so now they're not equipped. They're not complete to do the good work that God called us to do. There's no. There will be people coming. They may even have crowds. But see, half of it is spiritually, half of it is flesh. So mostly what they will be attracting is flesh. It's carnal people. It's just carnality. They'll be attracting crowds of carnal people, worldly people. And there's no profit. There's no profit on that. What we need to do is bring them to the cross, bring them to the feet of Jesus. There must be the signs. We must walk in the Spirit. The Lord, the Scripture says, walk in the Spirit. And we need to get to that place where we become more spiritual, not halfway spiritual. Where we become completely complete in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, so that we don't fulfill the flesh.
Amen.
I was, let's see here. There's this 1 Timothy 1:3. It says, I urge you. When I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. Now the purpose of the commandments is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some having strayed have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to become teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And so it becomes in that place. And like I said, I'm a kid. I'm a baby in the Lord. Just recently on Saturday, we had a prayer meeting in the morning. And, oh, goodness, God was, the presence of God was just so powerful in there. And all of a sudden, he lays in my spirit that, you know, and I've never seen that before. I've never actually seen it that way. But there's people in the Lord that have been in the Lord for, he gave me a number, even like there's people that speak and say, I've been with the Lord 38 years, and they're boastful about it. and they're boastful about it, you know, and this makes me cry. This makes me want to sob and cry, because the way I heard it from the Lord, you know, when the Lord is not pleased, but the Lord is not pleased, he has a tone on his voice.
Sister Joe, we're going to have to cut it. We're going to have to cut it short, because we're going to run out of time. Does anybody have any small comments or questions before we close? We're going to close.
You know, I have a quick comment, Sister Faye.
Yeah, but it got to be quick.
Well, she was speaking about Psalms working through the going through the valley of shadow of death. We have to look Psalm as David was putting his trust in the Lord. If you notice, he was putting himself in the place of a sheep, and the Lord is a shepherd. He didn't even use his kingship in that statement. And also, in 2 Timothy 4 chapter, Paul was coming to the close of his death, so he was encouraging Timothy that he wouldn't fall from the faith, because he would be tempted by those that would lure him in deceptive teaching, and he may leave, because Timothy was a kind of a young, weak man, and Paul constantly taught him and strengthened him. So that is the reason why he wrote that whole chapter encouraging Timothy to stay in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, then. This is, Jill, can you go ahead and close in prayer, because we're just going to close out.
Okay. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. Father, I pray, Lord God, that your word, Father God, will stay in our hearts, Lord God, and it will produce, Father God, bring out forth, Father God, good fruit, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father. We declare freedom in the souls of people, Father. We declare deliverance, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that the eyes be open, Father God, that the ears be open, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joel. I'm so sorry I had to cut you off, but we're running out of time.
Thank you
all for tuning in today. Bless you guys, and all of you have a good evening.
Thank you, you too.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.